childhood. I understand you were heavily into Bach and hymns and...
Sure. My father's a church musician, so that was what was naturally around the house and what I just heard in my environment. And it started there, and I knew most of the pieces by heart, you know, without trying to, just in the way that kids are, and they pick things up. And that was the kind of music that I was familiar with going into college. And it wasn't until I got into college that I was hip to jazz a little bit.
Now, did that influence your singing at all, listening to Bach and hymns and that whole...
Well, it influenced my singing in terms of the enjoyment that I have for it. And it influenced me, let's see, how can I say? Because I was always involved in singing, it was a very natural part of my daily activity. And it's the kind of thing that I think of when I think about what kids need in their lives so that they become really well-rounded people and acquainted with art and acquainted with those things that civilize us as human beings. And I was fortunate to be exposed to a lot of great music and to take part in it. It's one thing, as you know, to see something from the outside, but then to actually be a part of the production of art, whether that be music or visual art or you know, any of the arts, dancing, it provides you with an insight into what's happening so that you come to love the music, or you come to love the sight, or you come to love what it feels like to move. So that would be the chief way in which it influenced me, not so much in terms of an aesthetic approach, but more in terms of just a human understanding of the value of the experience.
Now, you're originally from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when you first played in New York City? That famous debut performance that you gave.
Well, my famous debut was in a club that wasn't really suited to my kind of music. It was really more of an acid jazz sort of a thing. And don't get me wrong, I love acid jazz, and I've sung acid jazz over motifs like that before and things like that, and I groove on it. But the people who were there wanted to dance, and I don't really play danceable music very often. So my real debut in New York wasn't that great.
One of the things that that really struck me about your CD, Close Your Eyes,
mm-hmm.
was the way that you just take off on things and you just really develop in the spirit of the moment.
Mm, thank you.
You know, like, I've listened to Mark Murphy, and I'm well aware that you've been compared to him and Bobby McFerrin, but you seem to have a really, really big set of ears as far as the music goes. And I was just wondering, what are you listening to these days that inspire your singing and your...
Well, I listen to the box set of the Plug Nickel a lot.
Of course, Miles Davis.
Yeah. I listen to Miles a lot because of his... because of the way he leads the band, you know, and because of the members in the band. I mean, he really got all those cats to develop in ways that they wouldn't have had he not been around.
Mm.
He pushed them and pulled them to new heights. I mean, certainly they were and are all extreme geniuses of the most wonderful sort. But he was a leader in terms of knowing who to pick and knowing how to get them to play together. And he really pushed the group concept a lot. And I really like to push my group concept and have a lot more interaction between myself as the leader or the soloist.
I was just going to say that, Kurt. Usually it's the tenor sax player or the trumpet player that's pushing the band. But on your CD, you're the one who's pushing the band and trying to bring them up a level or a couple of levels.
Well, and keep in mind that isn't because I'm more skilled as a musician than they are,
right?
Because they're all my teachers in that way. But I know I can understand what the group possibilities are. And when you know what the best setting is, then you'll get a really strong response from your musicians.
Now, do you ever, this might seem like a strange question, but do you ever, like, walk down the street and just get inspired by the sounds around you?
Sure. You know, it's a part of the discipline. As an artist, you train yourself to be self-conscious, to be conscious in every moment, so that there's a duality. You're experiencing the moment firsthand, but you're also taking a step back and watching yourself experience the moment, or watching things around you. It's never, you never really lose yourself in the moment. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, sure, I walk down the street, but it isn't so much like a rock on the head as much as it is a continual, a raid on the inarticulate, as Ferlinghetti would say.
Right.
You're really searching and listening and waiting and hoping that the world will speak to you in a way that inspires further creativity on your part.
Now, you know, another thing, going back to your CD, Close Your Eyes, the highlight for me on the CD was Remembering Veronica.
Oh, thank you.
That
went all the way to the end.
Well, you saved the best for the end there.
Thank you.
And the first thing that struck me, I don't know if you've been told this before, but it really reminded me a bit of Laura.
Oh, really?
In some strange way. And I just want to ask you, what is the song about?
A girl.
Yeah. A past love or...
Yeah.
Another? Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful haunting. Will you be performing that in Ottawa at the festival, or?
You know, it's possible. You know, festival audiences, part of it depends on whether we're indoors or outdoors and how many people are involved and things like that. I mean, festival audiences, generally, I can do some things I can do and some things I can't do. I mean, they're there to have a good time and relax, and there isn't the same intensity of a club setting where people are close to you and there's an enclosure and they can't run away, and you can really take two sets to set up a moment where they will be receptive to something like Remembering Veronica.
Well, I think you're going to find that when you come to Ottawa, Kurt. It's a very intimate setting, a very wonderful setting, and we're really looking forward to seeing you. You're going to be appearing on Friday the 26th?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Now, before we go, I just want to ask you about your trio that you're bringing with you. Tell us a little bit about them.
Sure. Lawrence Hobgood will be on piano. He's the co-producer of the record, and we're actually all meeting up this morning, actually, at about 11 o'clock. We're going to try to finish up the next record. So he'll be on piano. And everybody will be very glad to hear him because he's such a genius and he's just a great player and he brings a lot of love to his craft.
Right.
Rob Amster, who's one of our bassists on the record, will be joining us. He joins us after having toured with Maynard Ferguson and also Buddy Rich.
Hmm.
And he's just a great young guy. All of us are from Chicago and he'll really play hard and people will dig him.
Wow.
And Paul Wertico will be with us on drums from the Pat Metheny Group.
Oh, great. When is your next CD scheduled for release?
January 1.
January 1. Will it be a little different? Will it be a different band? Or?
It'll be the same band. We'll feature a couple of other Chicago artists in